Amen. We're continuing our series on Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, down through verse 19. Amen. Therefore, just as through one man, let me slow down, because, you know, I get real excited and that we get to drink in the word of God. What a privilege. What an honor. I don't take this lightly. The older I get in Christ Jesus, the more I treasure his word. And I'd like to think that's happening with you all too. I'd like to think that. Amen. Therefore, Romans 5 verse 12. We got it yet? Everybody got it? Lift a hand if you got it. I can make sure. All right. Thank you. Therefore, just as through one man, who's the one man? Jesus. See, y'all wins and cut to Adam. Adam. Got to forgive. Just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. I do that because you want to make sure you're paying attention. That's why, not just, you know, just, not just, you know, we just hear, you know. And so death spread to all men because all sin. Here's a quiz. All sinned. Sin, what is the tense of sin? The three things of sin. The tense. right? Eros. Very good. No, well, I mean, that's what it is. But Eros is one. Active. Yes. And the third one means it means a fact. Indicative. All right. Hey. Hey. Wait, Miss Paul. Okay. Miss Paul, we gotta hire some organists soon. Okay? We got to. Hey, right. Amen. Hey, but you know what? We're serious about this. Why did I stop over that? Because those three arrows, active indicative, it means that we literally said, no, we went over this, but that has to be pointed out. You'd be surprised at how the big range of discussion on that word. And if you don't do the tense in Greek, you'll come up with all kind of ideas. But if you acknowledge the tense in Greek, it cuts out basically all the arguments. So that's important to remember. Eros means it's already happened. A completed one-time past act. Active. We did it. That's huge right there. Folks, many theologians, commentary folks, pastors don't like that active word. But that's what imputed, as you mentioned that word, that's what it means. It was imputed to us. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 13. For until the law, meaning Moses, law given to Moses, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed, held against us, put on our account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, who was given the law, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. Remember, the Adam's trespass was he disobeyed a direct, open, verbal command. We didn't. Okay, so that means we didn't. Even death still reigned on us too. Why? Because in the verse 12, active. We counted as sinners. Verse 15, but the gracious gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, the many died, and many means all, go back to verse 12, because all men, death spread to all men, so many means all, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many, and the many there is limited to those who believe. And the gift, verse 16, is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment, which was death, was judgment, arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many transgressions, which we committed, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. See that? Through the one, capital O. Who is that? Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's disobedience, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, that's shouting material, right? There resulted justification of life to all men who believe. Hallelujah. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many, which is all, were appointed, deemed, credited, viewed, accounted as sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be appointed, viewed, and counted as righteous. When we said it again, when we walk into the throne of grace, the first thing that's mind-blowing is that we can even go, our spirits, into the face of God. No man can see him and live. Why? Right, because he's holy and we're sinful. That's the point I'm talking about. Because he's, but both of us, both are. We can't, no man can see him live because he's holy and we're sinful. Well, then how can we come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help?
Because we're made righteous.
Everybody's alive and alert and awake and enthusiastic. Hallelujah. Because of his righteousness. Don't ever forget it. He literally, this is not some fairy tale. This ain't Peter Pan.
That's right.
Saint Pinocchio. God literally, actually, counts you and I as though we have never sinned. I don't think we really believe that, Susan. I mean, I think we just think it's just the preacher just making up stuff. At all, because we don't know. And if we do, we just really don't believe it. That's where meditation comes in. It's like you have to ask yourself, do I really believe that? I'm embarrassed to tell you, you know, before my giving, you know, I've given since I was three. I remember literally filling out my little offering, I was about 3 years old, and putting a few pennies in. I think I gave 3 cents. I remember, so I've been giving since, so that'd be 1962, born in 59. Is that three?
Yeah.
Yeah, 62, thank you. But it wasn't until 2009, 10, 11, somewhere in there, that I found out that I didn't really believe that he is going to reward those who diligently, and that he is, and it held my, what is that you give me, your crop, and you do your harvest. Didn't fear my heart. My unbelief didn't fear my harvest. But Chris, I've been given since I was three. We need to really examine. And the Lord asked him, he told me, he said, you know, when I was meditating, though, on this in 2011, going over it, notes and everything, he was spoken to me and said, he said, you really don't believe me. I said, I do. Come on now, I got to. You can't bargain with God. Come on now, see, come on now, work with all humans, but not God. Man, come on now. No, you don't believe me. I don't believe him. You got to check yourself. Do you really believe what is just said, that God literally, actually, right now, counts you, I, us, righteous? He looks at us as if we're Jesus, as though we've never sinned, because we're covered in his, we're clothed in his righteousness. That's for real. Lord God, help us to get it. It's not something that's going to be in the sweet by and by. That's right now. The moment you and I and us were born again, we, at that moment, were clothed in his righteousness instantly. And that's why, spiritually speaking, we can go into the throne of grace, not burn up, not die. But he said, come boldly, boldly. I mean, stomping with the big dogs. I mean, like this. up in the pool, the throne room of God. He said it though. He said, come boldly, not shakenly, because I count you just like my son. I made you an heir. Lord God, it's not going to get into this fleshy table of your heart unless you put in the work. I mean, hours and hours of meditation. This is a truth that's real right now, and we're not taking advantage of it. Like Auntie Allie just said, we're not grateful. It's a shame that the so-called people of God are just as ungrateful as the world. And it's due to profound ignorance. Excuse me. And stupid preaching. We just don't want to bother him. We don't want to upset the app. We don't want to. He's not palatable. Just preach the word. See, that's a lack of faith in the Holy Ghost doing his job. Once you sow that seed and you go home and I go home, guess what? There, if you're going to do your work, hey, he can bring them words back. The power of the word of God that's living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive, energized, active energy is what that word means. That's why it is. That's why when you hear the word, you stop drinking. When you get told you can drink. That don't make sense. But the power of the word of God, just blow it out. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Let's learn to believe it. Amen. Let's learn to believe it. Because it's a fact, Jack. If you're born again, you are deemed righteous. Christ's righteousness has been imputed to you. It's a done deal. It's not sweet by and by. Keep thinking that. Well, maybe, are you hearing? Yeah, I hear you saying it's happening now. He right now treats me. But are you really thinking in your mind in the future? It's right now. Right now. That's why we can have an ongoing, vibrant, high-definition, Blu-ray, 3D, IMAX relationship with God Almighty right now. A real one. A real one. Christianity is about relationship. By the way, it's the only religion, by the way, that's about relationship. Everybody else is duty. Just works, 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 works. Earning, 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 earning. Not here. Because all that was earned was through the blood of Jesus. He earned us. Preach it, sister. We sing the song. If you've been in the Black Baptist Church, you don't sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. What a song. But this is just turned into a song. Not a reality. When he said it is finished. Finished means it's done. Our redemption was completed. The great judge of all of the universe, the cosmos, was satisfied. Jesus' death, Jesus' debt paid it all. His death, he died. God said, that satisfies me. Now I will take your righteousness and I'm going to slam it on all of my people and treat them like Jesus. Now you know what that ought to encourage us to do? Live like Jesus. He gave us his everything, his entire life. He lived it. Now let's give him our entire life. It's kind of a continuous on what the Lord taught us on Sunday. Be motivated to live for him at all costs. Because he lived for God at all costs. And it literally cost him his life. And I'm not talking about, again, just a quick chop your head off, beheading him quick and easy. But no, brutal beating, torture, and eventual a horrific death. Father, help us. Help us to live for you. Help us to live for you. Okay. So we're talking about verse 14. We kind of landed on there. Verse 14 again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam. Just explain that again. Adam is a type of him, capital H, who is at Christ Jesus, who was to come. And we said, how is it that Adam is a type of him who was to come? And we talked about the similarities. We've been talking about the last month almost. How are they alike? Christ and Adam. Well, both were appointed by God to be the head of their races. God then made a covenant with both of them. The Adamic covenant found in Genesis 2, 15 through 17. And then the covenant of redemption. We went over that. That was made with Christ Jesus. In other words, you're going to go down, take on flesh, become a human. You're going to be born. You're going to live a sinless life. Even because you're sinless, you're now positioned then to die for them. I can lay my sins on them. I mean, lay their sins on you, my son, and you're going to lay your righteousness on them. That's the covenant. And they will live with us eternally. That's a covenant of redemption. Made a covenant of both. Number three, each represented all their seed, Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, each one has passed to their seed the effects and fruit of their actions. Adam's action resulted in death. Christ Jesus' action resulted in life. And what kind of life? Eternal life. Number five, that's what we've been on the last two or three weeks. Each of them is the head of their respective race. There are two races. One is natural, of which Adam is the head. The other is spiritual, of which Christ Jesus is the head. We said, why race? Because we went to Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Both of them, Adam representing a race. Adam is of the, it says, for the first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are those who are heavenly. So there's two races. One is spiritual, one is natural. And I keep telling you, however, when it comes to spiritual, there's only one race, not five. We're going to keep that going. But now that we're adding the component of the spiritual, of which the last Adam is the head of, and he's called Adam. We said that's why we sing race, because Adam, the first Adam is the head of the human race, and they didn't say the first Jesus. They called him the last Adam. Why call him Adam? Because he is starting another race. And this race is spiritual. Are you following that? Nobody is. All right. Okay, thank you. Now we can talk about both races, the natural race again, out of the head. He's a representative. Remember, as in Adam, all die. Why? Because he's a representative of the whole entire human race. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all die. Now we've landed on the spiritual race. We found out the first thing about the spiritual race is that it is what? Look in your notes. What's the first thing about the spiritual race? Probably the first thing. Well, it does, but it's chosen. 1 Peter 2:9. It is chosen. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. The first thing about the spiritual race that I want you to understand is that it is chosen, elected, selected, picked out by God. You remember that? Yeah. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race. 1 Peter 2:9. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people for God's own possession. Wow, that's just an incredible verse. You are a chosen race. You are a holy priesthood. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own personal possession. Why? So that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We went over that on Sunday. I encourage you to listen to that one in Jesus' name. We asked the question, when were we selected? The answer, before the foundation of the world. And we keep saying that we were selected in its entirety. Nobody is added or subtracted. The two races, as we had the graphic up here, human race here, spiritual race here, before time began, no one is taken out of each other. Once God has formed that race, they're done. It's set in eternity. Now, I don't know if the saints back in the day understood that, but when they said, oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number because it is a set number. I told you all, folks don't like that, but nonetheless, it is true. And then we start looking at things. We looked at Romans 9:23, that God made known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand. Ephesians 1, right quick. Ephesians 1, 4. Let's look at that one. Ephesians 1, 4. Still our review. Ephesians 1, 4. Ephesians 1, 4, just as he chose us, just as he, God the Father, chose us in him, who is him? Christ Jesus. When? Before the foundation. Say it again.
Before the foundation of the world.
That's right. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Before everything or anything got started. Before there was one atom, before there was one molecule, one speck of dust. Anything, nothing existed but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Nothing else existed. Only them, only they existed. And while they were the only ones existing, their plan that they came up with was to choose us in him before the foundation of the world. Can you see how powerful that is? That's what chosen means. He selected us. Look at Matthew 25:34. Matthew 25:34. Still review. I think it's worth reviewing over and over again. It's such incredible truths. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you when? From the foundation of the world. Whenever you see from and all that, it means before. Prepared. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Lord, help us even get that. The kingdom was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord. Look at Revelation 17:8. Revelation 17:8. I think we stopped here last Wednesday, I think. Revelation 17:8. When were we chosen? When were we selected? When were we elected? Before the foundation of the world. In its entirety, before time began. Whichever way you want to word it. All means the same. Before time began, from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose names has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not to come. What I want to point out is it says, and those dwell on the earth, comma, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. What is that telling us? That there are those whose names have been written. That's what I want you to see. Is that fair? Yeah, that's whose names have been written in the book of life. So there are names who have not been written, and they belong to which race? Human race. Human race, the Adamic race. 17, verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. When it says whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, let us know that there are names who have been written and names who have not been written. Those names who have not been written belong to the human race headed by Adam, and those names who have been written from the foundation of the world belong to the spiritual race headed by Christ Jesus our Lord. But once again, before the foundation of the world. And then we talked about it last Wednesday that even Christ Jesus our Lord was crucified in the spirit realm before the foundation of the world. Remember we talked about that? Revelation 13 and 8. All right. So we're chosen. All that is with you. And I know you always takes quite a bit of time, so we're almost ready to close. But still, we're going to move on just an inch ahead a little bit. I think it needs to be gone over and over and over and over and over and over. This helps you to meditate. I hope you can do your due diligence when you leave here and meditate even more. Mm-hmm. We're talking about being chosen. The spiritual race is a chosen race. And we're still talking about that. Selected, elected, chosen. By who? God. By God. When? Yeah? You just said that 10 times, preacher. Why are you asking us? Because I want you to hear it and 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 hear it. Anybody who has any skill out here in anything, whatever it is, you know it didn't happen overnight. You practiced it, you did it, you did it over and over and over again until you mastered that skill, or at least became proficient in that skill. Does that make sense? How much more the Word of God? You know you're not going to get it. We're not going to get it. No matter how great a mind, the smartest person in the world is not going to get it overnight. We got to hear it and hear it. That's why we need to keep hearing it. So we're talking about being chosen. Look at Romans chapter 9, and we'll stop here, Lord willing, and pick up, Lord willing, here on Sunday. Romans chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse 6. and what I want you to see, so let's set it up. We're talking about God choosing, right? God's purpose of election, selection, God choosing. When we start our series on the doctrines of grace, it's the it's the U-T-U-L-I-P, tulip. T is total depravity. The U is unconditional election. Unconditional. There's nothing you or I did that caused God to choose us. It's unconditional election. The L is limited atonement, because then the ones who were unconditionally elected, then Christ Jesus died only for them. His atonement, they only atoned for the sins that were of the people who were selected with the U. Does that make sense? Limited atonement. T-U-L-I is irresistible grace. And the P is for the perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved. You're going to make it to the end. And that's good news, no matter how bleak it may look from time to time. And that's what the whole thing about Job was about. Satan, you can't tear my man's faith down. I don't care what you do to him. Now handle your business. Tore him up, tore up everything external to him. Then he tore him up. Never shaked, never shook him. He stayed true. All right, Romans 9, 6. We're talking about choice. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Stop right there. Sounds a little like double talk. So wait, what the world? Okay. So Israel, who is Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob slash changed Israel. Israel has children. Hold on. Let me put this up back up on the board. Now hold on 1 second. Okay. Let's put this back up here. Just want the graphic just to stay up here. We're gonna just take our time. Okay, so here we got it again. Who's ahead of this race? Adam. And who's ahead of this race? Christ Jesus. Okay? When were these races completely formed? Before the foundation of the world. Listen to verse 6. But it's not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. So there's the human aspect, whereas Israel had 12 sons. That's why, remember, you heard of the 12 tribes of Israel? Well, they come from 12 sons. So there were those who were born and were descendants of Adam. And then there were out of those who were born, there were those who were chosen by God. So what he's saying is that for they are not all spiritual Israel who are descended from natural Israel. Okay? And you know that because out of the 12 tribes, Jesus is from the line of the tribe of, not line of the tribe of Benjamin or Levi or some Simeon, it's Judah. He chose. Out of that comes, there's Obed, who ends up being the father of Jesse, who ends up being the father of David, and from David's line comes King Jesus. It's choice. So he's saying that they are not all spiritual Israel, what he's saying, who are naturally from Israel. And that, by the way, this was a problem all through Jesus. The Pharisees was thinking, hey, because we're descendants of Abraham, we good. And God is saying, man, don't y'all know that he can turn these stones into children of Abraham? That don't mean nothing. You don't get in, you don't get grandfathered in because of who you kin to. This ain't no good old boys club. And what do you call it? Nepotism. And they were still having trouble with that. Verse 7. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. Children of God. Just because they come from Abraham naturally. And that's what the Jews said. We have Abraham as our father. So they told Jesus. That's exactly what they told him. We are descended from Abraham. He said, if you were really descended of Abraham, because Abraham testified of me. So he's telling them, you think just because you humanly are born from Abraham that you good spiritually. And he said, no, that's not the case. Does this make sense when you break it down like that? Nor are they all children because they are of Abraham's descendants, comma, but through Isaac, your descendants will be named. Okay, let's talk about it for a moment. You all know the story. There was Abraham. How old was Abraham when he had his son? 99. They say 100, but 99. How old was Sarah? 90. Sarah was 90. Yeah, she was barren. It was long, but that's why it's a miracle. She was 90, and Abraham was 99. Now, the promise that verse 7. See the capital letters? Through Isaac, your descendants will be named. That was a prophetic utterance by God. So, of course, they didn't know the name yet of the child. They were just told that your Abraham, your seed going to be like the sand, grains of sand on the sea. Too numerous to count. And he just remember,
incredible. So he was told that at 75. So basically 25 years later, nothing had happened. So they thought they would help God out. Which don't ever help God out. You don't need their help. It's terrible. So what happened was Hagar, who was a male slave, right, handmaid, and served them, they had the bright idea, well, Abraham, why don't you go lay with Hagar, and maybe she'll have a baby, and that is where God will, you know, fulfill the promise. I don't know if Sarah, who was Abraham's wife at the time, did she think Abraham was too old to handle business? But he did, and Hagar got pregnant. Now, Sarah's mad. Ladies, you can understand that. And then Hagar, I can just see, believe me, women acting crazy toward one another didn't start with black women and brown women and other women. Okay, they didn't start with women in the 21st century. Hagar looked at, you know, Sarah with contempt. Aha, you know. So there was some friction between them two. And then he said, hey, she got to go. She had a child, had a son. What is his son? What's the son's name? Ishmael. Put her out. The baby and Ishmael and Hagar out in the desert. Angel comes, speak a word, strengthen them. Saying, no, you ain't the one, but you're gonna be prosperous, but you're gonna be at war with everybody around you. Who is descended from Ishmael? What group, what ethnic group? The Arabs. God can't lie. When he said you're going to prosper, they prospering even now. Mm-hmm. All the oil and gas stations and my Lord. Because God cannot lie. I admire it. I don't care whatever. But I'm seeing God's word come to pass. But check it out. Look what it says as we get ready to close for the 10th time. Look what it says. Verse 7. End of verse 7. But through Isaac, your descendants will be named. Not through Ishmael. Even though Ishmael is a descendant of Abraham, right? That's why it says, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. He said, through Isaac. Now, Ishmael, will your descendants be named? What are you saying? What are you saying, preacher? I'm choosing Ishmael is of the human race. But before the foundation of the world, I chose who? Isaac. I want you to see that. Now, Isaac has to be born natural. We'll get into that. But I've chosen him. It's through him that will come the descendants. I'm talking about choice. Remember, you are a chosen race. This is what this is all come up under. You follow me? He chose Isaac and he did not choose Ishmael. Ishmael was a descendant in the flesh, but Isaac was a descendant of the flesh and then in the spirit from before the foundation of the world. I've not chosen Ishmael. I've chosen, and he's teaching. Look at verse 8. That is, it is not the children of the flesh. It just sums it right up beautifully. Who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. It just nails it shut right there. Children of the promise are those who are in the spiritual race. Can you all see that? It's not the children of the flesh, but the children of the promise. And this promise was made and settled before when? Before the foundation of the world.
Amen. What'd you say, Glenda? That's a mic drop. That's the word of God, amen. Says it right there. Verse 9, we'll stop there. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. That's the word of promise. And those who are the children of that promise are the ones who are regarded as descendants of God, the spiritual race. Father God, thank you for choosing us. Let the church say, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For choosing us, selecting us, electing us before the foundation of the world. As my wife often quotes Numbers 23 and 19, I think it is, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent or regret that he made a promise. If he said it, it will happen. And if he thinks whatever it is, it will come to pass. It has to. Hallelujah. You chose us in him, Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world. And we are forever grateful. Hallelujah. That your choices cannot be undone. And we thank you for it and give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.